The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their new over-under game. Just head over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All righty. I think all of you guys know exactly where this podcast is going to start off. But first, let me. I need to find some music that fits the theme. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish knocked off the number one team in the land last night, 8-6. That's right, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish beat the Volunteers, the number one team in the country, 8-6. And they did it by scoring all 8 runs in the first 4 innings of the game. They hit 4 home runs in all 4 of those innings. You had Jared Miller with a solo shot. You had Carter Putz with a short solo shot, or a 2-run blast. Jack Ziska, who had a 2-run blast. And Jack Brannigan, who had another solo shot. 4 home runs in the first 4 innings. Cash that. Let's go. We had guys in the Slack channel. We had guys in the Slack channel talking about that game the whole time. Guys, join up the Slack. You can give me bets that you want me to tail. I'll do the same thing if I find any late news that I'm like, hey, this total is a great bet to take today. One more. This is so excited. I'm so excited that we hit this. I mean, the College Baseball Experience was like one of the only podcasts in the world telling you guys that Notre Dame was going to beat Tennessee this weekend. And what'd they do? They beat them 8-6. Nobody thought that they were going to be able to do it. But your boy that had them 40-1 to win the College World Series 5 weeks ago told you guys, it's not a slappy play because I have that future on them. This team is definitely overlooked. What did they do in the first 4 innings? They were running like crazy on Russell. Couldn't throw him out. Overthrows, taking free bases. The stolen bases didn't even matter yesterday. They hit tanks in Knoxville. You love to see it. Now, I mean, I just touted the hardest I've ever done in, I don't know, this is like the 26th episode of the College Baseball Experience, but that was needed. I enjoyed that moment. We barely had a positive day. That makes us 10 positive days in the last 11 podcasts, and all 11 of those podcasts have been either conference tournament or NCAA tournament. Yesterday, my podcast plays went 2-2 for plus 0.05 of a unit. So we barely escaped, like I said, and that Notre Dame play was one big reason why we were able to come out on positive. But if you listen to the podcast, there was a couple of pitchers that we announced that actually didn't pitch. Now, I looked on Twitter and I looked on the team's athletic sites, and those were the names that were listed, and they were not the guys that trotted out on Friday. The main one that I'm talking about here is Virginia Tech. They didn't start Drew Hackenberg. They started Griffin Green. Now, Oklahoma has a dog. The big lefty, Jake Bennett, he went out there and dealt. I knew about the guy, but I was still going to take Virginia Tech if they started Drew Hackenberg against him. But that wasn't the case. Griffin Green went out there, had a poor start, gave up 3 runs in the first 2 innings or something like that. If that kid doesn't start, that's a closer game throughout the game. They only gave up 2 runs in the last 7 innings to Oklahoma, and Virginia Tech would have won because they put up 4 on Jake Bennett. courtesy of a sixth and seventh inning home run against him. But yeah, I gave Oklahoma on the money line out on Twitter. So that's the positives of following me on Twitter or just having our Slack channel, because we were talking about it in the Slack, how I screwed up and gave out the wrong pitcher. But you know what? That's what betting on college baseball is. Sometimes you don't even know the starting pitcher before the game, the first pitch of the game begins. It's not the first time that I've gotten a pitcher wrong on this 10 positive day streak. Most of the time I'm able to project them right. Now, again, like, clear warning, when I say project, it is not confirmed. When I say confirmed, or like, this guy is going to pitch, that is a guy that's going to pitch. Now, I know I said that on yesterday's podcast a couple of times. I just wanted to apologize that about that up front. But yeah, yesterday, podcast plays went 2-2. They're plus 0.05 of a unit. On Twitter, we went 3-3, plus 0.2 of a unit. Either way, still not a huge difference there. Overall, on the podcast, went 3-2 on picks. And Colby went 2-2, plus 0.55 units there. He hit on East Carolina as a dog, and he hit on a half unit play with me on Notre Dame. So, yeah, just good day all around for the boys. I already touched on the Notre Dame-Tennessee score, but let's run through the scores a little bit. I'm going to talk about most of these games in the analysis for the picks. So I'm just going to mention that East Carolina, they beat Texas 13-7 yesterday. That was a back-and-forth game until they really just pulled away in the eighth inning. And the jungle showed up and showed out, and that really did bother Texas. We were talking about it on the podcast, how that David Pierce did not seem too fond of going into Clark LeClaire or LeClaire Clark. It's one of the two for the field name. He was not too pleased about it, and he actually mentioned about the 5 or 6 foot outfield wall that the fans hang over, and that played a huge role because Douglas Hodo III, their center fielder for Texas, had the ball in his mitt, and it was right up against the wall. It just popped out of his mitt over the wall for a home run, and that was a big momentum change in that game, and that was 100% because of the fans. Game two of the day, we had that Oklahoma-Virginia Tech blunder. I disagree with the Griffin Green start on Friday. And then again, just for the heck of it, sorry, Tennessee fans, but Notre Dame beat Tennessee 8-6, and the nightcap was a great pitcher's duel between Texas A&M and Louisville. Texas A&M walked it off 5-4. Again, I'll talk more in depth about those games in the previews of Saturday's games here. Before we get into the Saturday's games, let me tell you about WynnBET. Make sure that you get down on WynnBET's bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you up to $200 in free bets. The ultimate fantasy football experience is when you can bet $500 on sports or the casino before July 31st, 2022, and you enter to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed, so if somebody was to bet $1,000, they would get two entries. Party with DJ Diesel. All users can bet $100 on NBA or casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal, performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel himself this summer. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there, and I use it for some of mine. It's a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple because in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, their number of points scored in basketball or hits recorded in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the amount of money you put in. The main reason that I'm excited, all of SGPN is excited, buddies are excited about it, is because you can join a group together and play contests against each other or together. It's got a built-in group chat where you can see and copy your friends' picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game and have some fun with your friends and make some money. Our promo code for that is SGPMLB. Okay, let's get into some of these Saturday games. We have 8 games on the slate, and we have been rolling over the past 2 weeks, just raking in winners after winners. Game number one, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, is between Arkansas, who's 41-19 on the year, 18-12 out of the SEC, against the 10 seed North Carolina, who's 42-20 and 15-15 out of the ACC. The odds for this game are Arkansas +100, North Carolina -130. The total is 11. The over is juiced to -120, and the under is at -110. North Carolina -1.5 is +155. Arkansas +1.5 is -195. UNC is 4th in the RPI, and Arkansas is 28th. The Tar Heels have a 21-6 record against the top 50 in the RPI, and the Razorbacks are 16-14. The preview of this Chapel Hill Super Regional hints to many home runs, as both teams rank highly in the nation, UNC with 100 being tied for 16th, and Arky with 98 and 21st. The Razorbacks will play clean defensive fundamental baseball with a great bullpen behind their starting pitching rotation that may have just found themselves in a groove last weekend. Both squads rank in the top 25 in team ERA, with both being under 420. Arkansas's confirmed pitcher is the right-hander Connor Nolan, their ace. He's 6-5 on the year with a 4.13 ERA, 99 strikeouts, 32 walks, and 93.2 innings pitched. And North Carolina has also confirmed their pitcher is a right-hander, their ace as well, Max Carlson, who's 4-2 with a 3.61 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 36 walks, and 72.1 innings pitched. For North Carolina, Mikey Medesh won the Chapel Hill Regional Most Outstanding Player. He raked in 13 hits over the weekend and a 3-run mash against VCU in the championship game on Monday. As for Arkansas, Michael Turner, the Stillwater Most Outstanding Player, slashed .444, .545, .833 with 2 home runs and 11 RBIs. I love the vibe of this Razorback clubhouse and their offense's momentum at +100 money line, under 11, -110. I like both of those for this game. Arkansas, I've said it on this podcast once. I really think that they're just rallying around what had happened with that radio guy calling out Michael Turner and calling him a bunch of names. And Michael Turner goes out and plays his ass off, and this team rallies around him. The pitching staff has found each other, or found themselves here. And Hagen Smith, he's going to be interesting. I don't know. They only announced Connor Noland for Saturday. I don't know if Hagen Smith is going to start a game or if he's going to continue in that closer role, because he looked very good in that role on Monday. And he could easily continue coming in the late innings or leverage innings for this Razorback squad. I just don't know who they would fill in as a starter, because Jackson Wiggins may have lost that spot over the past weekend here. The next game that I want to cover is at noon Eastern time. We have the 9 seed Texas, who's 45-20. They're 14-10 out of the Big 12. They're playing the 8 seed East Carolina, 46-19, 20-4 out of the American. Texas is -195 on the money line, and East Carolina is +155. The total is at 12.5 with -115 on both the over and the under. Texas -1.5 is -115, and East Carolina +1.5 is also -115. Texas will be the more Texas will be the home team today. Yesterday, ECU did everything they needed to do to put themselves into position to win the Super Regional. As good of a story this matchup is between these two teams already, I think it needs a game three. ECU exposed a lot of Texas's bullpen arms, and they're some of their best, but they aren't that great to begin with. I think ECU has a few ghosts that will reappear when trying to clinch their berth against the program that has been to Omaha the most times here. We saw it in the regional with East Carolina hosting. They got ran out of the building by Coastal Carolina on Sunday. It was like a 9-1 score. I think Texas has the ability to do that again to the Pirates here. ECU, I project either Josh Groves or Jake Kuchmaner or Ryder Giles will get the start. We know how East Carolina is. They're very bullpen heavy. Their starter, outside of CJ Mayhew, who pitched great yesterday until he gave up back-to-back bombs to Ivan Melendez and Murphy Staley, he pitched very well, and that was one of the longer outings Mayhew's had in the past month. But yeah, Groves, Kuchmaner, or Giles will only probably go three innings, and then they'll turn it over to the bullpen and mix and match and get through it. For Texas, Lucas Gordon's going to be on the mound. He's 7-1 on the year with a 2.36 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 22 walks in 80 innings pitched. In yesterday's game for ECU, Bryson Worrell went 4-for-5 with 4 runs scored, 2 RBIs. Jacob Jenkins, Cowart, was clutch all game with 4 RBIs. And on the other hand, the Hispanic Titanic, Ivan Melendez, he hit his 31st home run, and Murphy Staley went deep twice. Ultimately, I think Texas figures out a way to get the job done, but I wouldn't bet anything on this game. I now think that ECU can win this series in Game 3. If you guys want to, go ahead and play East Carolina on the money line at plus 155. You have my okay to do that, but I need to see East Carolina do it. I mean, they've never been to Omaha for a reason. That reason is that they've never won a Super Regional, obviously, but they've never hosted a Super Regional. At least they haven't hosted one since 2001, and they've always traveled to teams like Texas, Louisville, Vanderbilt. They did. I think they went to South Carolina, too. A lot of good programs hosted East Carolina and knocked them out. I think there's a few ghosts there that they have to get past. I love Cliff Godwin. East Carolina was one of the teams that I was very confident in, and I put in a preseason future on them. Just right now, I think that Texas is going to win game two here. The next game on our slate is also at noon Eastern time. We have Virginia Tech against Oklahoma. Virginia Tech is 44-13, 19-9 out of the ACC. Oklahoma is 41-21, 15-9 out of the Big 12. Virginia Tech opens as a minus 170 favorite, and Oklahoma is plus 140 as an underdog. The total is at 13.5, minus 120 juiced on the over, minus 110 is on the under. Virginia Tech -1.5 is minus 105, and Oklahoma +1.5 is minus 125. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I questioned the decision by Coach John Sheff on not starting their ace, Drew Hackenberg, yesterday, unless he is injured. I haven't heard anything about a potential injury, so I'm going to expect Hackenberg to pitch today. As for Oklahoma's ace, Jake Bennett, the hefty lefty rolled through the Hokies' lefty-filled lineup with 5 strong innings, but then got tagged by Virginia Tech's Carson Jones and Jack Hurley for 2 two-run tanks in the final 2 frames of his 7-inning outing. OU pounced on a poor performance by Griffin Green in the first 2 innings, giving up 3 of the total 5 runs scored all game, led by Brett Swirls. I think that's what it is. I can't even read my own handwriting. Damn it. I think it's Brett Squires, who went 2-for-4 with an RBI, 2 runs scored, and 2-for-4 on the day. Today, I project, like I mentioned, Drew Hackenberg to start for the Hokies. He's 10-2 on the year with a 3.10 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 90 innings pitched. And for Oklahoma, David Sandlin, who's 8-3 with a 5.25 ERA, 83 strikeouts, 27 walks in 84 innings pitched. The Sooners are the home team today, and normally we would say that they have the hammer. But that's not true because the Hokies have the home run hammer, and their bats don't get held down often. Today is the bounce back day for Virginia Tech. I like them on the run line at -105, and I like the under in this game at 13.5. Under 13.5. Back to the. I mean. Do I have to mention what I'm doing on this game? You guys should know already. Tennessee is hosting Notre Dame in the Super Regional at 2 o'clock, but Notre Dame is going to be the home team here. Tennessee is -315 on the money line. Notre Dame's +230. The total is at 10.5, -120 on the over, -110 on the under. Tennessee is a -2.5 run favorite at +105, and Notre Dame is +2.5 at -135. Notre Dame pounced on Tennessee and scored all 8 of their runs in the first 4 innings with 4 home runs. A very cool story and good day for Jarrett Miller, who went 3-for-4 with a parking lot tank in his first game back from injury. The Volunteers attempted a late inning or late game comeback. Jesus, I can't talk. The Volunteers attempted a late-game comeback, but the story of this game became the ejection of Drew Gilbert, resulting in a 1-game suspension, and he won't be able to play in Game 2. Pitching coach Frank Anderson also got tossed from this game, and it was the second time he's been ejected from a game this year, so that results in a 3-game suspension. The Gilbert sussy was deserved, in my opinion, and now Tennessee is without their spark plug and leader on the offense. Tennessee, they're going to be throwing their right-handed pitcher, Chase Dolander. He's been their ace. He's the AC, or SEC Pitcher of the Year. Dolander, 9-0 on the year with a 2.38 ERA, 103 strikeouts, 13 walks in 72 innings pitched, and his opponents are batting .172 against him. For Notre Dame, they also have their ace here that they held on Friday and saved for Saturday. Their left-hander, southpaw, John Michael Bertrand, who's 9-2 with a 2.27 ERA, 103 strikeouts, 19 walks, and 99 innings pitched. In an ace-versus-ace battle, I'm not ditching my strategy. I'm going to be playing Notre Dame once again. I think they've been disrespected with this line at +230. I'm going to put a half unit on that, and I'll also bet the over 10.5 at -120 for this game. Before we jump into the second half of the Saturday slate, the College Baseball Experience is brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all of your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing speed on your computers, tablets, phones, and even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Game number 5 on today's slate is between Texas A&M and Louisville. A&M is 41-18 on the year. They're the 5 seed, and they're 19-11 out of the SEC. They're playing the 12 seed Louisville, who's 42-20-1, and 18-11-1 out of the ACC. Texas A&M opens as a -140 favorite. Louisville is +110. The total is at 14.5, the over slightly juiced at -120, and the under is at -110. Texas A&M -1.5 is +125, and Louisville +1.5 is -155. Both of these teams played a 4.5-hour game last night that ended past midnight, and now the evil NCAA is making them play another game almost 14 hours later. Expect the bats to be a little bit livelier than last night's 5-4 game. For the Aggies, Jordan Thompson went 2-for-4 with a wall-scraping home run, 3 RBIs, and a run scored. The hero last night was clutch Troy Klaunch, who hit a seeing-eye single through the right side of the infield to walk off the Cards. Ben Metzinger had a 3-for-5 day for Louisville as UofL scored 3 of their 4 runs in the second inning. Neither team has announced their projected pitcher for Saturday's tilt, so I'm left to try and project them myself. A&M is the easy one, in my opinion. I think they're going to go with Micah Dallas, who's 6-3 on the year with a 5.38 ERA, 79 strikeouts, 19 walks in 72 innings pitched. And for UofL, I think they're going to end up starting Riley Phillips. Now, they threw Garrett Schmeltz yesterday, and they threw their Sunday game one starter from last weekend's regional. They threw him in relief as well. His name is escaping me at this moment. So I think they're going to end up going with their second game on Saturday that Riley Phillips started. I mean, he's their next available starter with full rest. He's 5-1 on the year with a 4.25 ERA, 64 strikeouts, 14 walks in, 53 innings pitched. In Phillips' last outing, he absolutely shoved against Michigan's good hitting lineup and racked up 11 punchies in 5 innings, only giving up 2 hits and getting pulled at 69 pitches. Nice. Dallas's last start was 5 one-hit innings versus the 4-seed Oral Roberts. We saw the Cardinals' bullpen get taxed last night, and now I question what they have left. I'll be on the Aggies -140 and the over 14.5 -120 in this matchup. Now, a stat that I heard on a broadcast yesterday, and I wish I wrote it down, teams that won the first game of the series go on to win the series 91% of the time, I think was the number. Now, I have Texas, and I have Texas and Virginia Tech winning the second game after losing the first and forcing it to a game 3. I mean, I have Louisville in my Omaha 8. I'm just not that confident. The way that they used their pitching staff yesterday, I was not really a fan of. They brought in almost everybody, and they threw Prusecki for a long period of time. He threw like 40 pitches. And they threw Schmeltz in there when I thought he was going to start game 2. So I just don't like the position that Louisville's in. And Texas A&M, they're just going to hit. I mean, they forced Jared Polin to 100 pitches in 4 innings. If you do that to any starting pitcher, you're going to get into that bullpen real quick. And whether Louisville had two of the best what was the stat? It was like two of the best like ex-WOBA performances by a pitching staff in the regional round last weekend. It's just not going to be able to withstand the Aggies bats here. And I like the Aggies -140. And I think that both teams start hitting a little bit more now that it's a day game and the defense may not be as sharp, only coming off of like 14 hours of break between games. At 4 o'clock, we have Ole Miss, who's 35-22 on the year, 14-16 out of the SEC, playing against the 11th seed in the tournament, Southern Miss, who's 45-17, 23-7 out of Conference USA. Ole Miss is plus 105 on the money line. Southern Miss is minus 135. The total is set at 9.5, with the over juiced at minus 125 and the under is at minus 105. The spread, the run line, minus 1.5 for the Golden Eagles is plus 160, and plus 1.5 on the Rebels is minus 200. We have an in-state little brother hosting big brother in our next game here. Both pitchers have been confirmed for us, so great news there. Ole Miss will be throwing Dylan DeLucia, who's 5-2 with a 4.68 ERA, 79 strikeouts, 24 walks in 73 innings pitched. And Southern Miss is going to be going with their number two starter. Now, that don't mean shit, because any of these top three arms on Southern Miss would be the ace of almost any staff in the country. Anybody would die for these Golden Eagles starting pitching arms. But their number two, Hurston Waldrop, he's 6-1 on the year with a 2.97 ERA, 128 strikeouts, 29 walks in 85 innings pitched. I have Southern Miss as one of my Omaha teams because they have every ingredient that you look for in an Omaha baseball team, college baseball team. A great starting rotation, great defense, and timely hitting. However, Ole Miss is the hot three seed, and since 2011, we've only had 1 year without a three seed in the Omaha Eight, and I now think that the Rebels can be that team. In last weekend's regional, their bullpen didn't give up a single run, and Tim Elko slugged a 2,111 percentage slugging percentage, and he hit .778 with three bombs, and Peyton Chatagnier slashed .538, .571, .1231 with 10 RBIs. This team is rolling, and they're my bet today at plus 105. Okay, and I just want to rant like for a minute here on what the NCAA did with the scheduling here. They had Oregon State playing at 4 p.m. local time, but 7 p.m. Eastern time. They moved it back to 10, and now we have two games at 10 instead of a game at 7, and we're going to have a break of college baseball games. I can't take that. I mean, that's going to suck for 3 hours from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. I don't know why ESPN did that, but just got to deal with it. The 14 seed, the Auburn Tigers, they're 40-19, 20-10 out of the SEC. They'll be traveling to Corvallis to play the 3 seed, Oregon State, who's 47-16 and 20-10 out of the Pac-12. Oregon State is favored at minus 175. Auburn is plus 145. The total is at 10.5. Minus 125 juiced on the over. Minus 105 is on the under. For Oregon State on the run line, minus 1.5. They're plus 115. And Auburn plus 1.5 on the run line is minus 145. Last weekend in three games, the Auburn Tigers passed the half-century mark with 51 runs. It was a pretty stress-free regional for War Eagle at home, but that's how it is normally for them this season, with a 23-9 record inside Plainsman. But now they're on the road, and their bats aren't nearly as deadly away from home, and not to mention they travel to Corvallis, where so many SEC teams go to die in the postseason. OSU is 22-9 at home this year with the best complete team and pitching staff west of the Mississippi. The Beavers rank in the top 40 of batting average at .298, on-base percentage .410, fielding percentage .982, ERA .419, strikeouts .606, and whip at .126. Auburn has confirmed their Saturday night starter is Trace Bright, who's 4-4 with a .480 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 35 walks in 75 innings pitched. And for Oregon State, they have Cooper Jerby, who I've been so high on this Beavers team this year, and y'all have heard me mention multiple times that I believe that Cooper Jerpy is the best pitcher in the country. He's 10-2 with a 2.40 ERA, 155 strikeouts, 21 walks, and 97.2 innings pitched. His opponents are batting a 182 batting average against him. The Auburn bat to watch in this series is Sonny DeShera, a.k.a. Sonny D. He's hitting .397 with an OPS of .1369 with 20 home runs on the season. And for Oregon State, keep an eye on Jacob Melton, who's slashing .360, .422, .668 with he's two RBIs shy of Adley Rutschman's school record for RBIs in a season. Oregon State with Jerpy facing Auburn, who is not throwing their best pitcher, Joseph Gonzalez, here is the biggest lock to win on today's slate at minus 175. In my opinion, the under 10.5 is also going to be my pick. I need a drink of water. Last game on the slate is between UConn, who's 49-14. This game's at 10:30 p.m. They're 16-5 out of the Big East. They're playing against the two seed in the tournament, Stanford, who's 45-15, 21-9 out of the Pac-12. Stanford is minus 195 on the money line. UConn is plus 155. The total is set at 10 with minus 115 on both the over and under. -1.5, Stanford is minus 110. +1.5 on UConn is minus 120. I want to tread lightly here because I know UConn is a dangerous team. And on the last episode, I said that I'm betting the series to go under 2.5 games and for a Stanford sweep. The Huskies are kind of like the Southern Miss of the Northeast. Now, having said that, I'm treating the trees like Texas. If this game goes to a game three, I think UConn could make their first College World Series appearance since 1979. And UConn was Colby's favorite play for today's slate. He said it in last podcast as well. UConn has yet to announce a starting pitcher, so I project that either Austin Peterson or Pat Gallagher will get the start. Peterson, who threw 50 pitches in relief on Monday in the regional championship game, that's kind of why I'm a little bit hesitant on him and why I think Pat Gallagher has a slight chance to start. Both guys are dangerous with sub-340 ERAs, over 100 strikeouts on the season, and over 100 innings pitched. For Stanford, ace Alex Williams is confirmed to go here. He's 8-2 on the year with a 2.35 ERA, 89 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 95.2 innings pitched. UConn's Matt Donlin won the College Park Most Outstanding Player with a grand slam in the Monday final. Donlin is tied for second on the team in home runs with 11. And Stanford's Eddie Park won their regional's Most Outstanding Player. He batted .700 with a .727 on base percentage, scoring 5 runs in 5 games this past weekend. In this game, I love the under 10. As you know, in the Pacific Northwest, the ball just does not fly really well at night. And I'll pick Stanford at minus 195 to win this game. So as we wrap up this podcast, we're going to get to my locks. But first, I want to share this tweet that I had yesterday, but I didn't give out on the podcast in our last episode. Most of these are still available because they actually start today in their series. Just a couple of super regional futures that I had, and I tweeted them out. So if you follow me on Twitter, great for you. You saw these yesterday morning. I'm on the over 2.5 games in the Oklahoma-Virginia Tech series. That one's at minus 115. I'm on the under 2.5 games in the Stanford-UConn series. That one's minus 145. I have Louisville to win the series against Texas A&M at plus 116. That one I'm predicting now that we lose, but it's on it. I'm going to say it. I also have plus 100 Arkansas to win the series against North Carolina. I have minus 105 Ole Miss to win their series against Southern Miss. And one College World Series future that I've added to my catalog. I think I said it on last episode. This was the one that I included. I have Arkansas at 25-1 to win the College World Series. Now, I think they're really hot. But without further ado, That's my first lock of the day, is Arkansas on the money line against North Carolina in game one of the series, plus 100. I'm putting a unit onto that one. Then at minus 110, I'm taking the under in that same game. The total is 11 between Arkansas and North Carolina, a unit on that play as well. At minus 105, I have Virginia Tech on the run line, minus 1.5 to beat Oklahoma by two or more runs. At plus 230, I have Notre Dame on the money line at a half unit. I'm going to be putting on that one. In that same game as well, I'm on the over 10.5. It's minus 120. That one's a unit play. Minus 140, I have Texas A&M on the money line for one unit. And at minus 120 in that same game, I have the over 14.5 between Texas A&M and Louisville, also for a unit. And then lastly, I have Ole Miss at plus 105 on the money line for a unit. I'll include Colby's play here. He loves UConn at plus 155 to get the game one victory against Stanford. And he actually likes them to win the series. Let me pull up that series future real quick. He likes UConn plus 240 to beat the Trees this weekend at Sunken Diamond. For the podcast parlay, this is kind of the top draw, I guess, to everyone's day. They love the parlays, so we're going to keep giving them out to you guys. We're 9-9 on podcast parlays this season. Unfortunately, we've lost four of our last five, but I like the podcast parlay today at plus 193. We're going to put a half unit onto this one. Oregon State money line, and I like the under 10 in Stanford UConn. I'm also betting that one solo. We're going to put a unit onto that as well. Under 10, UConn Stanford. That one's minus 115. So in total, I'm spreading around the love. We have a 9-unit card. Typically, I keep my cards around 7, max 8 units, but I love the board today, and we're taking two plays in some of these games, and that podcast parlay is going to be really light, really nice, because both of those games are late games, and you'll be able to watch those with a UFC fight or the Edgar Berlanga fight that I'll also probably have on a TV as well. He's the monster. Shout out to the MMA Gambling Podcast. Those guys, Jeff Fox and Daniel Gumby Vreeland, they do awesome. And that was one of my favorite podcasts to listen to before I even joined the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And Colby just started his 131 podcasts on 131 FBS teams series. That is what ended up bringing me into SGPN. That was the first SGPN podcast that I listened to. It was to the Michigan episode on that. So go give that a try. Trust me, you're going to love it. He brings on a bunch of different guys from all these teams, whether it's their beat writers or a team representative. They have fun with that series, and it's very informative in the preseason, just to pass time. So thank you all for listening to the College Baseball Experience. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with the College Baseball Experience. Adios, amigos.